Let's pray together. Oh God, you are the righteous, holy God, the merciful Savior. Father, we come to you now and we beg that you will fill us with your presence. Father, may your holy presence come and consume us. Father, may everything else that's happened this past week, may everything that we face, may everything that's coming ahead, may that be pushed aside and may we see you this morning. Father, we need your grace. Father, we need you to open our eyes to your great glory and your wonderful power. We ask that you'll do that now. Father, I pray that every person here this morning, that you will help us, Father, to see the treasure of Jesus Christ. Help us to see that this entire world was put in place, that you hung the stars, you put in place the sun and the moon, and you put each of us here in your creation for one purpose, and that's to worship the Son. May we see that this morning. Father, we need to be nourished this morning. Father, help us to see that this is more than just a casual gathering this morning. This is the supernatural work of Almighty God. May we see that this morning, Father. Father, help us to see that this is more than just acknowledging who Jesus Christ is, that we need to be nourished in your word this morning. Feed us, I pray. Father, we will wither and we will die without the feeding of your word. Strengthen us this morning as we go through your word. I pray that you will plant the truths deep down in us, Father God, and may they not be overcome by the ways of the world or by the things that we are challenged with or faced with, Father, but may we overcome all that and see what the real purpose of life is. Father, we need Jesus this morning. Father, as you do it for us, we pray that you'll do it for the Qatari Arab of Qatar. Lord, over 350,000 people who are lost in the wicked, false religion of Islam. Father, a religion that breaks the back of your people, that tells them lies that they can achieve eternity through their own power, through their own works. Father, I pray for that precious people, that you will raise up brothers who have a boldness to proclaim the gospel in that dark and dreary area. May the bondage of sin and that false religion be broken through the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for more churches to be planted among the Qatari people. Father, we pray that they will be nourished like we're nourished through your word. Lord, we pray that you'll use the culture even to reach the lost. May you send brothers and sisters from among us, no matter what they're facing, no matter the cost, so that the precious people will know the real religion. What you call real truth. May they know the gospel of Jesus Christ and see the only true religion is simply taking care of the widows and the poor. And may you gather a people among the Qatari who gather together and understand what real worship is. Not based on what they do, but simply coming under the protection and the love of Jesus Christ. May they forsake all their effort. May they forsake even what could hinder them, Father, in their culture. And may you break the bonds and free them, Father God, this morning. Father, it's my prayer here in our own land that if there's anything that gets in the way, anything that distracts us, anything that is an obstacle to you, whether it be in our culture, whether it be in our homes, Father, open our eyes to it and may we get rid of it and focus on Christ alone. Father, I pray that you'll be with Pastor Dave Bentz here in King George, pastor of Grace Presbyterian Church. Father, strengthen him this morning. Father, like all of us, he can become tired and weary. Strengthen him this morning as he brings forth your word. And may the people that you've gathered there at Grace Presbyterian hear your words and hold on to the words. Father, may they become a people who is a holy priesthood. May you become a people who so in love with Christ that they cannot keep it to themselves, that they'll share and they'll proclaim the gospel. Father, we pray for Pastor Roy Garza. Pastor Roy, his family, and Tamar and Derek, who left here a year ago, Father, to plant Pillar Church, 29 Palms. Father, I pray that you will strengthen that group, that you'll be with Pastor Roy, that you will strengthen him and his family, Father. May they see fruit from their ministry. May you save many Marines there at 29 Palms through that ministry. Father, I pray that you will give them the resources that they need. Father, I pray that they will grow, not just in number, but in a zeal for Jesus Christ. Father, you know also what Pastor Vijay is going through. I pray that you'll be with him and his wife this morning, that you will strengthen them. I pray that you will guide them and bless them in their church planting efforts. I pray that you'll be with Reach All Nations, that they will continue to share the good news. Father, if it comes from Reach All Nations to the Qatari, may it be so. I pray that you will be with them as we go through your word now. I pray that you'll be with them as they go through it. Lord, give your people what we need this morning. May your grace be sufficient. Help me now not to speak in error. Help me as I go through. Nourish us. In your Son's precious name, amen. If you'll take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's at the bottom of page 962 in the church Bible. And if you need a Bible, have not yet grabbed one, please feel free to get up and grab it off the back cart. And when you're there, I ask that you'll please stand with me as I read God's Word to hear how we live out the gospel together. The bottom of page 962, 1 Corinthians, I'll be reading the whole chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries.
When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Lord, cause us to live and love your ways and see Jesus as our secure hope. Amen. We have been in the book of 1 Corinthians for a little more than a year now. And we've come now to the last chapter of this great book. When we started, I didn't know 1 Corinthians as well as I do now. Now, I knew about the Corinthians. They were these Christians that got a lot of things mixed up. So Paul had to write to them to straighten them out and to put them back on the right path. What I didn't know is how prevalent this book is for today. How prevalent it is for our church. And I'm so incredibly thankful that we began here. As a young church, we hadn't started out on a path yet. We didn't need a course correction, but what better way to learn what the right path is and to set out on that path than to learn from those who have gone before us? That's what 1 Corinthians has done for us. It has given us a picture of a church that got sidetracked in a lot of areas. Paul had to address a lot of problems. And every time, what does he do? Every time, every problem, every situation, he pulls them back to the center where Jesus is. And he says, stay there. Where Jesus is, don't move. Stay there. Focus on him. Find Jesus. Worship him. Share him. Love him. He is truly the answer to every problem a church faces. Sometimes, and I've done this before, I mock the church answer when you ask someone a question and they come back, Jesus is the answer. In the past, I've mocked that, but I have come to a better understanding that that is the answer. Now, sometimes we need to kind of flush that out a little bit and expand on that, but Jesus really is the answer to every situation that you and I face. Every problem that we face together as a church, Jesus is the answer. In some way, Jesus and his gospel applies to everything we are, every situation that we face, everything that we encounter, everything that we are to be and everything we are to do has Jesus and his gospel in mind.
Now, I was unsure when we started, not knowing where this book would take us, hoping I wouldn't mess things up or say something egregious and just wrong. I had not preached. Honestly, I had not preached a series this long or this in-depth. I didn't know how I was going to do it. When we started, there were theological positions even that I hadn't personally sorted out, that I had not resolved. There was so much as a church that we needed to grow in and to understand. And there's still a lot that I need to grow in. But this book has been good for me. I had to wrestle with those issues, and I had to come to a decision on where I stand in order to preach God's word to you, not knowing how you would react, but resolving to tell you God's truth and trust in His grace. I've had to learn to tell you what God says in a way that cares for your soul. I don't want anyone here to falter. I don't want anyone here to be deceived or to be pulled under like you're drowning, not able to come back up for air, and to be able to find that dry ground, to stand on that rock of our salvation. And you can go through life knowing and trusting and treasuring Christ. I personally have learned a lot from 1 Corinthians. I am richer for going this deep in this book. I may be the one preaching and you're receiving, but my love for Christ and His gospel and this church has grown by leaps and bounds this past year. And I hope you have as well. My prayer is that our church recognizes the supreme worth of Jesus Christ and wants Him more than anything else in this world. God has laid out His path for us as a church, and we together move in the direction of living passionately for Jesus and sharing His gospel. There's just no other way for us to be as a church. There's just no other way to exist as a follower of Jesus Christ than to live passionately for Jesus and His gospel. This being our first church series, I want it to be foundational for us. I want it to start us off in that right direction and establish an inextinguishable love, an uncomparable passion for His gospel, a yearning for Christ that grows and grows, and a love for each other with real ministry and fellowship, and a genuine love for the lost in our area. The urgency of their predicament and ours resonating so deep in us that the gospel has to be shared. Not just proclaimed on Sundays, but shared all throughout our community. Going through 1 Corinthians has been all about that. 1 Corinthians has been all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. In every chapter, when Paul is addressing the problems in Corinth, he turns them back to the gospel of Jesus as the answer. That is what we need to learn and take with us. As we move forward into other series and our church is more established, well beyond what we see here, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that will keep us on the right path. I want to remind you one last time what the theme of 1 Corinthians is: church unity in purity to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's say that together. Church unity in purity to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the theme of 1 Corinthians. all the problems in Corinth had divided the church. They had separate groups with different focuses and goals. It can't be that way in God's church. It can't be that way here at Redeemer. We won't survive if we break up into different factions and have different groups here. The church has to have unity. Your life as a follower of Jesus Christ is forever connected to fellow believers. If you are a confessing Christian here this morning, you are forever connected in a relationship, a familial relationship with brothers and sisters here, whether you like them or not. This is an eternal bond that God has established. Just like our natural families, you don't get to choose who's in God's family. You don't get to decide who gets saved, and you don't decide who God brings into the local body. These brothers and sisters in Christ have an eternal bond with you that's in Christ. You and I, every confessing believer here, are forever connected together in fellowship in Jesus Christ. We are to be together. We are to live this faith out together. The church is not a Sunday-to-Sunday activity. Nowhere in the Gospels, nowhere in the Bible is church described that way. It is not a Sunday-to-Sunday activity. We are not planting a worship service here. We're planting a church, a local body of believers saved by God, empowered by the Spirit, who share the good news of Jesus Christ with one another and to others outside the church. And it's not just about getting along and being nice to one another. That's not unity. We can be nice and not love one another. I can not like you and still put up with you, but that's not true unity in the church. We've learned in 1 Corinthians that true unity is building one another up in the Lord. I have such love for you that I want what's best for you. And the best thing I can do for you is point you to Jesus. The best thing I can give you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. To do that, we have to be willing to live in one another's lives, to be involved. Your family then becomes my family. Any problems you face, they become my problems. Anything that you're praying for become part of my prayers. You matter to me because we're part of the same family of God. The church belongs to God, a God who's holy and righteous. And that's why it's not just about unity together. It's unity in purity, because that's how our God is. He's pure and holy, and we reflect Him. You and I together, we don't have this on our own. We never just focus on each other. We have unity in purity. Only God is pure, and this is His church. So when we come together according to His word, we do it in the way that He says. We do it in the way that He is. And there's only one way to do it. His holiness tells us in what manner we ought to have unity. And that's how Paul opened his letter here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, to this church that belongs to God, that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, those who have been taken out of the world, brought into fellowship with Jesus Christ, those who have been separated and now live in Christ, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a description for the church. We belong to Him. We're sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together. When the church gathers, God's Spirit dwells among us. Today, as we gather to worship, God's Spirit is here, dwelling among us. Almighty God is here. But it's also every other time we gather as a church. If we gather for fellowship, if we gather for Bible study, to minister or share the good news with others, God's Spirit dwells in us and among us as His people. We are united together in Christ, and God's holiness tells us then how we are to be together. And His Spirit dwells in us and moves among us. The Corinthians were submerged in different factions and immorality and had separate goals from each other because holiness was not a priority for them. God is holy and we ought to be holy. Holiness must be a defining trait of God's people. So we have unity in purity. Seeking holiness pulls us together because in Christ is only the place where holiness is found. So you and I who've been saved, we're confessing believers, we're in Christ and we're seeking Christ. That means we're seeking holiness together. And there's unity in that. If we're all moving toward Christ, we're seeking His holiness. That means we encourage one another to keep pressing toward Christ. We help one another avoid sin and reckless living, and we help one another rest in Him. But it's not just about us, is it? Nowhere in the Scriptures does it talk about the church just focusing on those who have already been gathered. God has given His church a mission of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our unity has purpose that affects more than just us. Our striving to be holy is for a reason beyond us. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that's far, far away from Him. They're lost, and they're facing judgment. They need the good news of Jesus while there's still time. They need us to share it with them. Now, it begins with us, doesn't it? That's what Scripture says. That's what we've learned in 1 Corinthians. It begins with us as we gather together in holy unity. We are about advancing the gospel upward in each other's lives. Our growth in the faith of Jesus continues to grow upward. This happens as we help one another grow in faith, and our love for Jesus increases. We are to be about advancing the gospel outward as well. Upward in those who are already here, and outward in the community where they're lost. We ought to share the gospel with those who don't love Christ. They love other things. Their love is too little. The path set for us is destination Jesus. That's where the church of God, that's where Redeemer Church is headed. Destination Jesus. Worshiping and loving Him now and into eternity. We are helping each other reach Jesus. We keep each other focused on Him. If one of us gets tired along the way, we help each other up. We continue to pray for one another. We ask God to refuel each other, to keep each other going. And we keep pointing to Jesus. That's where we're headed. We remind each other again and again. As we help each other, we come across people on the path along the side who are stranded from the truth. They're lost. They're desperate, yet most of them don't even know it. These people need us to share the gospel and point them to destination Jesus. So we look to Jesus. The path is purity, and we do it together. All along the way, at every turn, with every bump and steep climb and low valley, it's God who's working in us and through us, keeping us on the path, using us as His instruments for one another and for others, until He brings us to Christ. The first sermon I preached in 1 Corinthians, I said that Paul's goal in writing his letter was to get the Corinthians to embrace their identity in Christ, to put on the holiness of God as their appearance, and to live out their purpose in this day of advancing the gospel. And we know that Paul was writing this for us as well. Until we get to Jesus, until He comes again, He's given us a mission as a church to advance the gospel together in His holiness, so that with everything and in every way, He is seen in us and He's glorified. So how do we do that? How do we live out this purpose that we've learned in 1 Corinthians? Church unity and purity to advance the gospel. We're striving toward Jesus. How do we do that today? How do we do it as God's church? We're going to finish 1 Corinthians by looking at just that. We're going to finish this great book at answering that question and how we live this out today as God's church. There are two parts in chapter 16 we're going to look at to see how we fulfill this. In verses 13 and 14, Paul exhorts the church to grow in Christ and be the family of God. To grow in Christ and be the family of God. And then in verses 22 and 24, there's a warning to our hearts and a reminder of the precious gift of grace. This is how Paul closes his letter. To advance the gospel of Jesus in unity with purity, the church must always keep our eyes on Christ, grow in His love, and trust His grace. That's how we do it. We never take our eyes off of Christ. We never stop growing in His love. His love continues to flow into us and flow from us to others. And it's only by God's grace that we're saved and we have this new life in Christ. It's God's grace that opens our eyes and heart. It's God's grace that gives us that laser-like focus to keep going. So in chapter 16, Paul has some closing instructions on how to live out our Christian faith in the real world, doing this together as a church. When we think of living our faith, it ought to be in terms of the church. Never in the scriptures is the Christian faith described as being alone, apart, like a lone ranger off on the trail somewhere by yourself. It's never described that way. The Christian life is always described as being part of the local body. We can't live the Christian life apart from the church. Paul begins the chapter by raising support for believers in the Jerusalem church. Paul did this on occasion whenever it was needed. He would ask the churches to give financially to the cause of Christ in a particular church. Paul brought unity to the church by raising a need and enabling the churches to support the same goal, much like missions does today. We partner with other churches for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of advancing the gospel all over the world. And all gospel-centered, Christ-exalting, God-glorifying churches all give to missions to enable brothers and sisters to go to the ends of the earth and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It unifies us. Generous giving is part of what the church does. We give our funds so that other churches may be established and outposts for Jesus can be sprung up all over the world. a church in every tribe, nation, and people group, advancing the gospel. Paul then tells the Corinthians that he hopes to spend more time with them. He gives them his travel plans so they can be prepared for when he comes to them again. He's not just writing a letter and moving on. Do you see that? He's not just answering their questions and going on to more important things. He longs to be with these people. He has such great love for these people. He wants to be there with them and help them. But notice he says this will happen if the Lord permits. In verse 7, everything happens under the sovereignty of God and fits into his great plan. As the church is moving on that path of righteousness, as we're headed towards destination Jesus, we move at the pace and we go the distance under the sovereignty of God as the Lord permits. One other thing to point out before we look at verses 13 and 14. Look at the names Paul brings up and notice why. In verse 10, it's Timothy. In verse 12, Apollos. In verse 15, Stephanas. In verse 17, Stephanas again. And then Fortunatus and Achaicus. Do you remember the Corinthians had this warped view of leadership? Paul's been teaching them about leadership, about what true Christ-like leadership is. Now he points to men out there who are leaders. These are real leaders among God's people. And notice why. Timothy is doing the work of the Lord. Apollos is focused on ministry. He'll come to them when there's a break, when there's opportunity. Stephanas and his household were the first converts in Achaia, and they devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, they encouraged Paul and they renewed his spirit. Men like these is who the church ought to follow, Paul says. They sacrifice so the gospel will grow and spread. And the Corinthians should recognize that and follow that. Not because these men are high and mighty leaders like the world sees leadership. It's because these men are low. They serve. They're Christ-like. They sacrifice. They point to Jesus again and again. They have so much care and love for God's people. They're looking at all of them and saying, are you keeping your eyes on Jesus? Walk in that direction. Don't ever move away. Those are the men God says to follow. Paul then gives this exhortation in verses 13 and 14. This is how the church lives out its purpose of advancing the gospel while staying in unity and purity. Verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. That's how we do it. Be watchful, be vigilant, be alert. They need to watch out for those who cause division in the church. They need to be on guard against using worldly standards as a gauge for the church. They need to watch out for false conversions and not be anxious about growth church strategies. They need to be vigilant and make sure cracks don't form in the foundation of their ministries. They are to be on the lookout and not be overtaken before they're aware of the danger, this danger that lurks all around God's people. We are to always be looking out for one another, in other words. We are to be watchful for one another. We are to help one another stay free from the corruption of the world and to help resist the temptation that grows in our own hearts. God designed it that we are to go through life together as a church, watching out for one another. Always building each other up in the faith, keeping our eyes on Jesus, helping each other to continually go back to the well, continually fill our hearts with his love and receive his grace. Be watchful, Paul says. In other words, there's no coasting in the Christian life. It's not just a decision and then that's it until you get to heaven. There's no coasting. You can't put it into neutral. We're constantly shifting gears according to the terrain, and we just keep going towards Jesus. We're either growing or we're dying. Only those who are watchful remain in His care. Those who stay true to the faith, those who hold on to the doctrines and the teachings of Christ, those who guard their hearts from becoming cold, and they return again and again to the gospel, guarding from becoming complacent. It's only those who see the gospel as valuable and as alive, as their only hope of salvation. It's they who make it to the end and they receive Jesus as their reward. No one can do this on their own. You can't just keep shifting and keep going and looking and making sure everything all around you is okay. You need your brothers and sisters, and they need you. No one can do it. We all have blind spots. All of us get weary. It's kind of like two guards who've been put on duty in the wee hours of the night. Two guards on duty, and one just happens to fall asleep. There's another one there to wake them up. Hey, get up. Let's keep your eyes open. That's what it's like in the church. We're on guard duty for one another, looking out for the dangers as we're all moving towards Christ. You need your brothers and sisters, and they need you. We need to stay alert. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. That's the truth. Jesus says this to his disciples. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Be watchful. Watch out for those landmines of temptations. Your brother or sister may be stepping on one right now. They need you to tell them to look out. Don't step there. Be watchful and vigilant. We are to stand firm in the faith. Remember that there are false teachers everywhere. The Corinthians were besieged by them. They're all around us today. Large ministries that are feeding people lies and deceit. They're being deceived, being pulled away from the truth. People who may look like sheep, but really they're ravenous wolves, looking to devour God's people. We need to be looking out, standing firm in the faith. Be grounded then in the truth of God's word. That's how we stand firm. We be watchful, we look out for one another, and we stand firm in the truth of God's word. Don't move from it. The Bible is our defense against false teaching. It's not theological leaders. It's not having this great understanding of the faith. It's the holy word of God. The plain, simple instructions and teachings of the Bible is what keeps us firmly grounded in the faith. In the Bible, there are the very words of God. The very words of God given to us so that we will see Him and love Him. We need the Bible. The Bible is full of doctrines and teachings that tells us what's important. Mainly, it's God's glory and not your own. Stop thinking of yourself and look to Jesus and worship Him and praise Him. That's what the Bible tells us. We're saved, but there's still sin in us that needs dealt with. Deal with it. Look to Christ. Keep going. And take care of your brothers and sisters. Don't move from that. Don't get distracted from any of the teachings. Take in all of it. Seek to understand the hard ones. The plain teachings of Scripture give us a clear image of God in Jesus Christ. And don't ever move from that. And help your family to stand with you. Help your family to come along with you. Paul then says, act like men, be strong. In other words, be courageous, be resilient, be strong. Being a follower of Jesus Christ takes the willingness to be different. It takes the willingness to be outcasted, the willingness to be slighted for the sake of Christ. The gospel is the truth. There are many who don't understand it, many who don't want it, many who are against it. The faith is not for cowards. We keep moving forward in courage, knowing that Jesus is our destination. God says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. So stand firm, be strong, be resilient. He matters more than anything that we're outcasted from or anything that's taken away from us. We need to become strong in the Lord, strong in the faith. And here's the key. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just magically appear to anybody. We don't just wake up one day and we've matured in the faith. It's learning to be consistent in obedience to God's word. That's how God's Spirit moves in you and among you. Learning to be consistent in obedience. God supplies the strength in and through his gospel and the indwelling of the Spirit. And that happens by us every day, opening God's word and feeding and learning and changing and seeking him and forsaking all else. We stay consistent and we work hard for the Lord, not to receive salvation. We don't do it to achieve anything. It's because we're saved that we live this way. We've been given the truth. God's grace works through his Holy Spirit and the careful reading and studying of God's word and submission to it. In some places, God calls this nourishment for your souls. Think about that. He says, be strong in the faith. Here's nourishment for your soul. Here's your healthy diet to keep on going, to get strong. We feed on the word of God and become strong as we submit to the authority in our lives. And our church becomes strong. As each member gets stronger, we as a church become stronger. But it's not all about strength and knowledge and persistence. Verse 14 says, let all that you do be done in love. It's like he's repeating chapter 13. Let all that you do be done in love. Everything you do is to be done in love. Being childish is being self-centered. Being weak is relying on yourself. Doing everything in love removes the focus of self and puts Christ at the center as we serve others. We have concern for others as he has concern for us. And the result of that is being strengthened and nourished and having more courage. In other words, Paul says, being built up in the faith, maturing in the faith. Do you see how that works? Do you see what Paul's been doing from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 16? He's saying, destination Jesus, this is how you do it. And he says, as you submit to Christ through his word and you obey him and you serve others, you're given what you need to go through life. So many times we got that backwards. We focus on ourselves. We say, I got to get myself right before I go and help others. And God says, no. You're nourished, you're strengthened as you walk in the ways of Christ and you serve other people. That's how I will fill you. That's how I will strengthen you. You're given what you need in this life to keep going, to grow in the faith, to be satisfied, and to be changed in his likeness, to be with him forever as you seek him and you serve others. There are so many weak Christians because they think, I got to get me right. Well, God says, no, serve and focus on others. Advance the gospel in other people's lives, and I will give you what you need. Stop focusing on yourself. How awesome is this? God designed it. As we help each other, we are helped. We don't need to focus on ourselves. God already has us in His hand. And it's all done in love for His glory. He's glorified when we act in love. And that's the purpose of why we're here, to glorify God in all that we do. And we do that by doing everything in love. Now let's look at verses 22 and 24. Follow along with me, please. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Everything in this life is moving toward that great glorious day when Jesus returns. Everything. Every struggle that you experience, every good thing given to you has ultimately one day in mind, and that's when Jesus comes back. As followers of Jesus Christ, we look forward to that day and we say, come, Jesus, come. We want that day to come. That'll be a great day for us. Because verse 23 is for us. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. We don't go on this path. We don't go through the struggles. We don't focus on each other and just work it out amongst us. It's God's grace moving us and pushing us towards that great day. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that grace. His grace covers us. It protects us. It keeps us. And the reality, everyone else is accursed. That's the reality of your neighbor who does not love Christ. That's the reality of your family member who doesn't love Christ. Your coworker, every person you know who doesn't love Christ, it says they are accursed. If you don't have a love for Jesus, then you will face judgment, in other words. Every person's created to glorify Him. He died for sinners to set them free from the penalty of sin. If you deny Him, if you love anything else, then God's grace is not with you and you're accursed. Here's the reality that we all need to come to grips with. We cannot say we love Jesus and hate His people. You cannot say you love Jesus and ignore His teaching. You cannot say you love Jesus and reject His sacrifice. You cannot say you love Jesus and worship something or someone else, including yourself. He's coming. Be warned. Be watchful. Only those who love Jesus receive the blessing of forgiveness and enjoy Him now as He makes us alive by His Holy Spirit. And it's only those who love Jesus who will be with Him forever and make it to destination Jesus. Followers of Jesus are not home. This world is not our home. We band together with fellow believers, building each other up, making Him known until He comes to take us home. We live for Jesus now and we share Him with others. A command in how to live together in verses 13 and 14. A warning for your heart in verse 22. And reassurance for the believer in verse 23. Living out our faith is not something we do alone. We do it together. Do you feel like you're on your own? Maybe you veered off the path and you need to come back to where God's people are. Does your heart feel cold? Maybe you need to come and be warmed up at the fire of God's blazing glory. Both of these dangers are remedied by God in the gathering of His people. In His grace, God provides unity and purity, and He fills our hearts with bursting love as His church advances His gospel together. Now, as Paul closes, he gives such incredible, sweet, encouraging words. Nothing better can be said. That's how I'm going to end the sermon series in 1 Corinthians. Verse 24. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. I love you in Jesus. My love for you comes from the God of love. His love is never ending. So like Paul, I can say, may my love be with you. And I don't just wish it. I give it. And if you're in Christ, you receive it. Let's pray.